genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
Next part of the program could be a little bit surprising. We're going to talk about, well, we're going to talk about sex for a little bit. And I saw this article, and I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I saw an article in the New York Times talking about East German women having a much better sex life than those that lived in West Germany. So those that lived in a free society, you know, had a terrible time. Those that lived under communist rule in the Iron Fist apparently were having a great time. Dr. John Lott here, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, joins me to talk about it a little more in detail. CrimeResearch.org, the place to find the doctor. Doctor, welcome back.
Great to talk to you again.
So you took this on yourself, but in Sunday's New York Times, Kristen Godsey paints a glowing picture of women's lives in the former Soviet Union. And can you imagine, because I heard people say some things about, well, you know, it's better off to be a slave and the whole world goes crazy. I don't think this is so far away from that. It's better to be under a communist iron fist. The life is good. I'm like, really? Tell me your points.
Right. Well, I mean, she made a lot of claims, everything from the fact that women were granted universal suffrage 3 years earlier in Russia than they were in the United States, to things like the ease of being able to get a divorce, and that a large percentage of women worked in the labor force. And, you know, the problem is each of those things either basically don't matter or... she doesn't understand kind of the dark side that was involved with them. So, you know, just the first thing that she mentioned about full suffrage. Well, you know, it's great to be able to go and vote, but the problem is in the Soviet Union, votes didn't count. I mean, you only had one candidate running for office with the communists, so who cares whether you were able to go and vote or not. But, you know, beyond that, what she doesn't seem to understand is that the reason why they made divorce very easy, the reason why they basically kind of pushed women into the labor force, is that they didn't want them at home. And they didn't want them at home because they didn't want women raising kids at home, because they were worried about women imparting their own values to the kids. They wanted to get the kids into public schools at a very young age and have them there pretty much all day long so that the government could create a new version of a Soviet citizen, unencumbered by, you know, the old views of the parents that were there. And so things like having easy divorce were just part of their way of breaking down the family, making it so that the government there could pretty much unimpeded instill the views and the political values that the government wanted to instill in the kids.
So that's, you know, that's still what they do today.
I actually did my dissertation on this, and which is one of the reasons why I wrote up the piece. And you look and you find in totalitarian countries, they would have lower school starting ages, because the more totalitarian countries that want to control people's views more would want to have kids under the kind of the tutelage of the government at an earlier age.
So you're right, and I read the same thing in this article. Everybody's got a job, everybody gets to vote, everybody's equal, therefore the world is, I mean, this notion that somehow being under, you know, a communist Marxist Leninist rule is better. I mean, the article was, well, frankly, it was absurd. I mean, we know what went on in East Germany. Those people were willing to run across, you know, and try to get across the Berlin Wall, many of which, I mean, scores of which died over time, right?
No, all the women were trying to get into Russia, right? I'm joking.
Well, they were trying to get to West Germany, to West Berlin, yeah, trying to get out of there any way they could. They were shot, they were murdered, tangled up in the barbed wire. I mean, how many bodies did you have to see tangled up in the barbed wire. That must be because their sex life was so great they had to run over and kill themselves.
Right. It's basically a combination of the New York Times linking up with a left-wing professor who wanted to go and write an article about how wonderful life was under communism. So, I mean,
yeah,
as somebody who's spent most of his adult life in academia, it wasn't too surprising. I tried writing an email, or I wrote a couple emails to the professor there, just to kind of get her responses to some of my points, but she hasn't responded. I doubt she will.
Yeah, I doubt it too. I think you'll get ignored because you ask too many intelligent and relevant questions. But it seems to me it's all part of this conditioning in America today, trying to tell us, you know, socialism is good, you know, moving to the left is good.
Right.
You got all these folks that, you know, they all praised Hugo Chavez, and we see how that worked out, didn't we? But they still continue to praise the socialist move to the left. I don't know. Maybe it's a conditioning thing. I'll give you the last word.
I know, man. You're exactly right. You look at, you had a lot of academics. Joe Stiglitz, who was the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors under President Clinton, was saying what a wonderful economic program that they had in Venezuela and how they were going to be doing extremely well. You know, and the New York Times and other places had glowing articles, you know, in part quoting people like Stiglitz on Venezuela. You don't see kind of follow-up stories saying, whoops, you know, we were wrong on that. You know, they just kind of go on to the next myth that they want to go and try to produce. But whether it's these types of economic arguments or gun control or what have you, it's pretty hard to get places like the New York Times to go and correct things.
Yeah, they're not going to fix it, Doctor. They're going to leave it right there. I've got to leave it right there, though.
They'll never publish letters to the editor to correct things.
They will not. Find out more at crimeresearch.org with Dr. John Lott. Crimeresearch.org. Always a pleasure, sir.
Great talking to you. Good to have you back.